Day, May 3rd, 2016, to order. Could I please get a roll call?
Commissioner Fowler Payne.
Here.
Commissioner Mack.
Here.
Commissioner Martin.
Here.
Vice Chair Keen.
Here.
Chair George.
Here. Will you please stand for the flag salute?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll move on to agenda review. Does the commission wish to revise any items on the agenda tonight? No? Hearing none, we'll move on to community comments. This is when we invite the public to come speak on items not on tonight's agenda. And is there anyone who wishes to speak? Hearing none, I'll close the community comments and move to written communications. Looks like we received two memos. One is a supplemental for agenda item 8A, and another is just correspondence for 8A as well, right?
And nothing further.
Okay. Everyone received a copy of that?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Tonight we have two items under the agenda, the approval of minutes for April 5th, 2016, as well as consideration of a resolution approving a street name for Tract 3072. Do the commissioners wish to discuss any items on the consent agenda?
None.
No? Okay, hearing none, I will move to approve agenda items 7A and 7B as is.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
No? Okay. That'll take us to public hearings. Public hearing 8A is a consideration of appeal to Planning Commission 16-002, the Architectural Review 15-011, and Minor Exception 16-001. 1-foot reduction of side yard setback and a 2-foot reduction of front yard setback for a new story residence and attached secondary dwelling unit. The location is 306 Short Street, and the applicant is Cindy Knott. The representative is Michael Fisher, and at this time it's being recommended that we continue this item to date certain of May 17th. Do we have any opinions on that?
No.
No? Hearing none, do we need to motion or anything? Or
Motion for that action in a second, please.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to continue this to date certain of May 17th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No? Okay. Hearing none, I'll move to public hearing 8B, the consideration of tentative parcel map 15-002 and planned unit development 15-002. It's a subdivision of one lot into four lots and construction of four new attached townhome residences. The location is 189 Briscoe Road. The applicant is Edward Shapiro, and the representative is Greg Soto. And if we could please get a staff report.
Thank you, Chair George, members of the commission. I did want to clarify that the second correspondence received after the agenda preparation is actually for this item. rather than saying 8A, it should say 8B, and the letter received is attached. However, this is item 8B, the subdivision of one lot into four lots and the construction of four new attached townhome residences. So to orient ourselves a little bit, the subject property is outlined in red, as you can see in this image. It is zoned multifamily apartment. It is located on Briscoe Road between Linda Drive and El Camino Real. And surrounding land uses include residential to the south and southwest, commercial uses to the north, the Ocean View Elementary School to the northwest, and then the Arroyo Grande Cemetery to the east. So there is a little bit of history on this site. It is part of a what at one point was being described as a phased planned unit development project. This site specifically did have seven lots. It was approved for a seven-lot subdivision and construction of seven attached residences, similar to what's being proposed tonight. However, that project did require some significant earthwork in order to accommodate all those structures, and which did also include a lot of retaining walls, particularly on the southeast corner of the project. Due to the economic downturn, that project wasn't proceeded forward with, and the phasing of that whole development kind of went away, and the properties reverted back to individual ownerships. And the applicant this evening bought the property and is seeking to subdivide the approximately 21,000 square foot lot into four lots rather than seven. Lots ranging in size from 4,000 to, 6,800, almost 7,000 square feet, as well as constructing four new attached townhome units. And to clarify what exactly we're talking about, essentially you'll have two buildings, quote-unquote buildings, with two units attached per building. So there will be two units down with the property line separating the common walls at the attached point, and then another building, similar setup, as you go up the site. So here's what that looks like. Again, the two separate buildings themselves, with each of the units being attached along the common property line and the common wall, and taking access from Briscoe Road up this common driveway facility shared with the neighboring property. As I mentioned, it is zoned multifamily apartment. The primary purpose of this zoning district is to provide a broadened range of housing types for those that are not necessarily desiring a detached dwelling on an individual lot, as well as providing an area for the development of single-family attached and multifamily attached residential dwelling units. And the parcel map in front of you can be approved with the concurrent consideration of the planned unit development, which does allow for the deviation of certain development standards associated with the parcel map. So in this case, the minimum lot size being down to 4,000 square feet can be approved with the planned unit development. The architecture of the proposed structure is a Mediterranean style. It's very similar to the adjacent residences across the common drive aisle, common access way. It includes several different materials, a smooth sand stucco, ledge stone bases down in these areas, as well as the red clay tile roofs. The ARC did recommend approval of the project with additional window detailing on the north elevation of the buildings, particularly Building A, which is the closest to Briscoe Road. They thought either having some pieces pop out across the windows or actually insetting the windows a little bit would add a little more interest to that elevation. With regard to access and parking, again, access from Briscoe Road via the shared driveway. There are drafts, the applicant did submit draft CC&Rs for the continued maintenance of that roadway. Again, the maintenance agreement that was set up with the phase project had seven units, and the applicant's share of that being split among seven lots. Now that it's being reduced, that will need to be updated to only four lots, but the same overall split across both projects. And this, the draft CC&Rs will be required to be reviewed by the city attorney's office prior to recordation of the map. One interesting point, in order to meet the ADA requirements for this project on the public sidewalk area, which does require flat surfaces rather than having those in wheelchairs at an angle on driveway ramps, in order to accommodate that sidewalk extension, engineering staff actually did discuss with the applicant about doing a bulb out on the driveway. Whether that's a full bulb out, we don't think. We think there can be kind of a little bit of bulbing in as well to provide that flat transition area around the driveway apron. This will also accommodate a traffic calming effect on Briscoe Road by having that projection into the street, as well as if you've been out at the site recently, we do have an issue with cars parking right at that driveway apron, which should be painted red to begin with. So that will actually keep cars further down and increase visibility for those entering and exiting the site. With regard to parking is required at 2 spaces and an enclosed garage per unit, as well as a half a space for guests per unit. And this is all being accommodated on site with 2 garages per dwelling and then 2 guest spaces at the top of the site. So they'd be able to drive up, park, walk down to the unit that they're visiting, and then walk back to exit. And you can't really see that image now, but it looked really good. The applicant's proposing 13 new silk trees, so the silk trees would be kind of scattered throughout the site, and as well as 1 new Brisbane box tree right here in the drainage basin area. All the ground cover will be drought tolerant, and will need to meet the new state model water efficient landscaping ordinance as well. The applicant, in order to address their stormwater issue, is proposing some LID features, including this bioswale along the northern property line. So this bioswale will actually help clean the water as it flows down the site before ending up in this basin down near the street. So the ARC did review the landscaping plan as well. They wanted increased ground cover density. They felt that the density was a little too sparse and wouldn't necessarily do what the full intent was, as well as having annual maintenance by a certified arborist for all these silk trees, because they can become a little unruly if left unmaintained. So that was the ARC's recommendation there. And speaking of advisory committee reviews, the staff advisory committee did review the project on March 9th and discussed several aspects, including the driveway design, as I mentioned, the ADA compliance, as I mentioned. We also discussed the need to pave that common driveway area once construction's completed. So there's going to be utility cuts in there. There's going to be construction vehicles up and down the driveway. So requiring the paving of that to restore it, as well as how to address the stormwater, and that's where the LID features come in. Overall, the staff advisory committee was in support of the project, with the numerous conditions of approval that are in tonight's resolution. Additionally, the Architectural Review Committee, as I've mentioned, reviewed the project on April 4th. They discussed the window detailing, as well as pedestrian safety on site and landscaping. They were overall in support of the project and did recommend approval with the additional ARC conditions highlighted in the staff in the resolution as well. In terms of environmental review, the previous project was actually reviewed under CEQA, and a mitigated negative declaration was adopted for that approved project. This project does fall under that project in that with the reduction of units, any impacts identified in that are actually adequately mitigated in for this current project. And so those mitigation measures associated with the previous project will address the impacts and will be implemented as concert with this project. With regard to the public hearing notice, the notice was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the project site, was published in the Tribune, posted at City Hall, posted on the city's website, and posted at the site itself on April 22nd. The agenda and staff report were posted at City Hall and on the city's website on April 28th. And then, as I mentioned, we have one letter that was received, which is the supplemental memo in front of you. And that concludes staff's presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Do the commissioners have any questions for staff?
I just have one. I was at ARC, and one of the comments was to reduce the height of the garden wall for visibility from Briscoe Road. Did they do that on that plan? I didn't go back and pull the
old. Not on the plans that are in front of you tonight. They kept the same plans from ARC to tonight's meeting, but that isn't a condition that is under the ARC conditions of approval. So staff will check that when they come in for their grading permits.
That was it. Oh, wait a minute. One other thing. I, when I read through here, I saw that it's going to be individual trash receptacles instead of a dumpster. Are they going to be required to bring those to Briscoe Road for the trash service to pick them up? Or It doesn't look like that's an accessible place to take it.
It actually is. The adjacent development does have a common trash enclosure area, which does actually use the individual cans. It doesn't use a dumpster for that exact reason of that slope being so great. You know, pulling a dumpster out and having it roll down that driveway would be very bad. So they do actually have a truck that goes up and does collect those canisters. So during the week on non-trash pickup days, they would be stored in the garages and then pulled out on trash day and picked up.
But then they would be taken down to where this enclosure is, or to the individual houses?
To the individual houses, yes.
That's it.
Commissioner Martin? I have a couple of kind of minor things. On this bulb out for the driveway, when you talk about maybe not making a full width, why not make it just full width? It would seem to me that a bulb out that was 4 feet wide rather than 8 feet can almost be more of a danger than making one that's a full width of a, I'm assuming, you know, 6 feet or whatever that full width of a vehicle is on a standard full-sized bulb out.
I'd let City Engineer Horn address that.
Okay.
So the bulb out design is yet to be completed. I'm anticipating that it'd be a minimum of 2 to 4 feet in projection. We can look at projecting out maybe as far as 6 feet, but I wouldn't recommend any going any further than that because you might kind of introduce that to the travel way. So.
Right. I'm not proposing invading any of the travel way, but I'm thinking if the cars are parallel parked on that curb, and let's say the vehicle is 6 feet wide, putting in a 2 foot wide bulb out to me is almost, I don't see where the value is. I guess my recommendation would be as close to a full width of a standard parking space as possible. Obviously not trying to invade anything into the standard driving roadway, but
sure.
That's all. I'm just thinking, for me, I'd rather see a 6 foot wide rather than 2 foot wide is in my mind as I'm thinking. If we're going to do a bulb out, let's just do a bulb out.
Yeah, full bulb out. We can easily do that and accommodate it, though we probably only need 2 to 4 feet, but if we want to go 6, maybe we include that as a condition on the project.
I'm happy to defer to staff, and I'm just, okay. As I'm looking at this and thinking about it, you know, you guys are doing this every single day, and you know it's a hilly location. It's a fairly busy street. There's a lot of traffic that goes up and down that street. Anyway, here's my 2 cents on a bulb out. The other one is on, and this may be talk about really minor, but I'll just say humored when I see many of these, you know, minor additions that go into the, you know, CCNRs and annual arborist evaluation on trees. We don't have any real way of enforcing that, do we? Is that just gets written into the CCNRs or the HOA agreement, and then it becomes incumbent upon the residents of that development in order to kind of self-enforce that?
It depends. There are some instances where we do have annual reporting requirements for things like central storm drain maintenance and things like that. We could add in, if the Planning Commission wants to, an annual maintenance report to the Director of Public Works, who typically takes care of landscaping and things like that. So that is an option if you'd like, you know, annual checkup on that. But otherwise, it would be kind of just deferred to the HOA to ensure that that's done.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of micromanaging tree pruning in a small private property, so I'm not in favor of doing something that's going to require more work on behalf of city staff on an arborist for a handful of trees. I was just curious about how that typically gets enforced. Thank you.
My turn.
Long day. Commissioner Keene.
I got that tree situation in my notes too. I was going to ask, when the ARC did it, did they suggest any other type of tree, just replacing it with a tree that doesn't need that? I mean, there's so many different varieties. Why does there have to be one that takes an arborist inspection?
The ARC did actually ask kind of the reasoning for it. The applicant did indicate that it would work well there. The ARC didn't disagree with them on that. So it was just kind of if that's the one you want, then this is how you should maintain it type of situation.
I would suggest that we have the applicant look at it again because I'm like Commissioner Martin. I think that's just adding thing to the city staff that doesn't need to be done when there's so many other types of trees that will grow fine there. I'm not pushing any specific species, but I'll save this for later. That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Commissioner Mack?
A couple questions. Our typical depth for guest parking stall is 18 feet?
That's correct. It can go down to 16 feet with a 2-foot overhang.
Okay. Question is that the parking isn't perpendicular to the drive. Are they going to be able to make a maneuver to back out and go out in a forward motion? Or they have to back all the way down the driveway?
There is space on the adjoining site, and there are reciprocal access agreements between the two that would allow adequate turning movements to back out and down, face going down the driveway in a forward manner.
So they'll back, when they back out, they'll be turning into the driveway on the other side of this driveway?
Correct. That's correct. Okay.
The way the retention basin is shown, well, along that side of the property, number one, there's an easement, a 10-foot drainage easement. And customarily, easements aren't allowed to have structures or buildings in them. And right now, there's a retaining wall shown right down the middle. So to maintain this easement, you really couldn't take a tractor through and maintain that line. Are we allowing retaining walls and easements? That's the question.
So the drainage scheme for each one of these parcels is kind of tied into the Regional Water Quality Control Board's post-construction requirements, in that each parcel needs to hold, maintain, and allow water to infiltrate the best they can. So the retaining walls adjacent to each parcel hold the water on that one site, and then it gradually will spill over to the next. And so it's, for this particular case, it's not an impediment to the drainage system, actually is part of the drainage system.
So I guess my question is the easement, the drainage easement on this parcel is exclusive for this parcel? It doesn't allow drainage from the parcel up the hill to also go through here to get to the street?
That's my understanding. It's exclusive for this parcel of land.
Okay. Because typically, if another parcel is allowed to drain through, it should be left unobstructed. And that's something I would hope staff would check.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely will.
Question is the open space calculation taking consideration this drainage basin? Is it part of the open space calculation?
It's not part of the usable open space calculation, but it is part of the overall site open space, yes.
Okay. Do we have vertical curves that we've adopted in Arroyo Grande? Typically, I've seen 8-foot vertical curves, and what I've seen on this proposal is 6-foot vertical curve being proposed for the cars coming in up and down the driveways.
We actually do have new driveway standards. They're very similar to our old driveway standards. Off the top of my head, I can't remember what the vertical curve length is, but looking at the driveway that they're talking about, so the driveway that's profiled here is the main existing driveway and not anything that would be changed or revised.
So the driveway that's built now is not going to be altered. It's going to stay as is, correct?
That's my understanding, and that's based on us doing a bulb out into the travelway to allow for the ADA access on Briscoe.
Okay, and then there's conflicting information, and maybe the applicant can share, but maybe you know. The basin section shows one elevation for the basin, and the plan shows another elevation. 18-inch difference. One says like 36, and another one says 38.5 or something like that. Which one's being proposed? The one on the section or the one on the plan?
I would actually defer that to the applicant.
Commissioner Mack, just to follow up on one question, the 10-foot drainage easement that's proposed on the freeway side of the parcel, that's actually a new easement. If you look at sheet. It's actually the tentative parcel map. It's called out as a new 10-foot drainage easement.
So that's a new one for the purpose of the project?
Yes.
Okay. And then the easement, are we sure the way the easement's written now going down the driveway, it's also written to benefit these four new lots, correct? And it's currently serving 12 units, and at the end of the day, this same driveway will be serving 16 units, right?
Correct. So the maintenance, the agreement's actually written to include the former seven lots that are entitled currently. So 12 plus 7 would be 14, 19. In this instance, it would need to be rewritten in such a way that the seven lots portion of that maintenance would then be split rather than amongst seven, amongst four. So it would increase the maintenance cost per lot, but the impact to the existing development wouldn't occur.
So, which leads me to my next question. I didn't see any letters in here from the fire marshal or anything like that. Do we have a fire department turnaround?
We do on the adjoining site. It's currently, for some odd reason that we cannot figure out, is not red striped. What we have talked about as staff is because this, even though the driveway is not on the applicant's property, it is serving his property and therefore requiring the red striping along that access roadway.
Yeah, because I didn't see any red curbs or nothing. I'm going, how did the fire department approve this existing one, let alone let these four go through without addressing the fire turnaround?
The driveway between some of the buildings does act as the turnaround, and like we said, for some reason, it was never red curbed.
So we'll get caught this go around, and signs will be posted in red curb?
Correct. Well,
okay. Do we have a maximum requirement for cross slope of a driveway?
Cross slope of the driveway, so kind of longitudinal to the roadway section?
Yes, that's correct. So typically you see 5%, no more than 5% if you're going down a 10% drive or 16%
drive. No, actually we don't have a cross slope requirement for a driveway. I guess the thought process would be that it should mimic or closely match the longitudinal grid of the roadway section.
Okay. That concludes my questions.
The drainage that you were talking about, the 10-foot drainage easement for the drainage, is that in addition to the current drains that they have? Will they be sharing the same drains?
The existing drains for the adjacent development? Mm-hmm. No. So with the state stormwater requirements, they're required to retain their water on site rather than draining off site. So in this case, all the water that falls on their site will be directed back toward that 10-foot drainage easement, so it will not be impacting or adding to the adjacent drainage system.
And do they have a rough timeline for construction?
No. I would defer that to the applicant.
Okay. I have one more question. It says for disadvantages, now that the project's been reduced from 7 units to 4, it significantly reduces the amount of retaining walls necessary in the northeast corner of the site. What is the impact going to be having less retaining walls?
So that's actually an advantage of the disadvantage that's identified. So the disadvantage identified is that the proposed project does reduce the density of the previously entitled development. However, the flip side of that, of the current project, is that it does reduce the amount of retaining walls needed on that northeast corner of the site.
I was confused about that. Thank you. Those were my questions. I'd like to invite the applicant to come up. Okay. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My name is Greg Soto. I'm a project architect. I'll try to clear up a couple of matters you're talking that I heard. One of them was about the trees, and I think at the staff ARC meeting we talked about changing the trees. So, I mean, I don't have an issue about changing the trees where there's less maintenance. The individual owner can take care of their own tree, and we can find easier trees. Like you said, there's other trees you can put there. There's no issue with that. And the drainage easement is a new drainage easement for that parcel that we're working on, so that we can have all the water go down to the basin. The issue on the section, I don't remember right now. You're saying the section... Oh, okay, that... Okay, on the detail for the slipstone. So I believe the basin was going to be 3 or 4 feet deep, so I don't quite remember, so I don't know what the difference is in that section. So I know we changed it through the process, going through this a couple of times. We are going, and it's going to change again because the basin itself right now, as you look at it, it's rectangular, okay? And through the ARC, it's one of the conditions, it's on the staff report, that we make it more natural. So we're going to put curves on it, and we're going to put berms on both sides of it with landscaping on both sides so it doesn't look so, you know, rectangular. And should have done that in the beginning, but when we're talking about it, I said, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. It'd be nice to just make it more soft from the roadside and from coming up the from up the other side. Some of the conditions that there was in the written report was there were concern about as you come up the driveway, the individual driveways had they had to be 42-inch high walls to protect people from falling off the driveway because it got to be over 30 inches tall. So I had to put a guardrail there, and ARCA came up with a great point that we should make it clear. So we're going to have it open so that people can see through it as you're driving up or out of the driveway, out of their own garages, and into the main driveway. That was the point from ARC. I can hand this to you. Yeah, and the retaining walls that you see in the drainage easement are for the biosystem, the bioswales that we're creating to try to maintain the water and slow down the water process coming down that hillside. Timeline, I think Mr. Shapiro will take care of that, and I'm here for any questions, if you have any questions of me right now.
Commissioner Fowler Payne, do you have any questions?
No.
Commissioner Martin?
No.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes. So as you can see on your C1 plan, you're showing the basin depth of 138.8. And then you go to your cross section, which is on C3, and it's showing a basin level of 136.5, and the basin is showing a lot smaller, like maybe that was a previous design or something. But here's my concern. If you're saying it's 136.5 and the top of wall is 141.5, you have a 5 foot deep basin. Which, this is a twofold question. Normally these basins, when they fill up with water, you're supposed to restrict kids from playing in the water, drowning or whatever, and you have to put a fence around them. Mm-hmm. So do we have a fence around this? Because we'd like to know what that fence looks like and what it's going to be made out of and whether
it's going to... At the moment, we don't have a fence. And I think there might be something in the code where we have to put a fence once it gets to a certain depth. But right now, like I said, it was only going to be 3 feet or 4 feet, but it's still we're still getting quite the exact number on the amount of water we're going to collect. Like before, it was underground, so we're still trying to figure that out, how much water we are going to collect.
So are we putting a fence around this basin?
At the moment, no fence is sewn there right now.
Then I'll have a question for staff. Is one required?
I don't have the exact depth that a fencing requirement is needed, but I think off the top of my head, 5 foot depth would require a fence. I think somewhere around the 3 foot range is when it would go away, but I'm looking right now to find the exact height, depth of water.
I know guardrails required when you have a depth of 30 inches or more, but that's a guardrail to protect you from falling in. But I know there's another code regarding waters or waterways or when water can be contained that you need actually a fence height. Restrict from jumping over or sitting on the guardrail and falling in, or I think it's like 5 feet that's required, but.
Yeah. And I don't know what that exact number is right now, but when the project comes in, I imagine that we're going to have additional hydraulic calculations, additional stormwater calcs that come in. The depth could vary, so depending on how deep that is, we might need a fence around the basin.
So if we need the fence around the basin, I think it should be a nice looking fence, number one, not a chain link fence, and that, you know, ARC or someone like us control the design of that fence.
Commissioner Mack,
then is that basin accessible at all? Are we using that as open space? Can the homeowners go down there and put a picnic bench in there?
It's shallow enough that it could be used if it's like 4 feet, and we have a sloping on one side that you can walk in there. So it could be used because you really can't grow anything in there except grasses and stuff like that that's not going to be harmed by water. Any plants, there's not much you can plant in there, but we'll have some plants in there that can take some water.
Like some basins you see in Grover Beach, you can just, you know, the dog park or whatever, you can actually use them and
that's where the grass
during the dry times, and then lock the fence and close the fence when it's raining. And it's
yeah, if we have a fence, that's for sure something like that would happen.
It seemed to me like I can remember one time we had the same kind of similar situation, and if the sides were sloped, that you didn't have to have a fence unless it was over 3 feet. That's just my recollection. I don't know where that is. But if it's straight up and down, you got to have a fence, you know, if it's a box, like a swimming pool side. But if the sides are sloped where somebody could just walk in and walk out, 3 foot determined whether there was a fence. Don't know where that come from, but I just haven't remember one of the things. Excuse me.
Just some additional clarification before I started to jump in is we recently adopted some revised engineering standards in April, and then in our uniform design criteria for basins, any basin with a depth of 2 foot of storage area requires a fence. So if we want to if we choose to use a basin with a depth of 2 foot of water or more, then we would ask for a fence to be installed.
Those are this month?
April 12th.
And in that case, staff would recommend adding a condition that the ARC review final fencing plan.
It does change the appearance of the project as you're driving down Briscoe, you know, seeing a fence. So we should keep that in mind. When the first 12 units were put together, was the fill material placed on this site? And
I think it was. I think the developer originally put, he might know, but
seems like a lot of fills put on there, what I'm getting at is good, bad, or indifferent. That's not the issue that I'm trying to clarify. In the back towards lot one works pretty good. Two starts getting steep. Three and four, it's a long way down to that storage area in the back. It seems could be 15 or 16 feet in the air. And I walked it today and got out of my vehicle and walked
it. All the dirt, yeah.
There's a lot of dirt, and what I'm getting at is this grading plan doesn't accurately depict a grading solution for those two lots back there.
The grading plan I did was the original topo.
Okay.
I don't know what's there. I mean, you can see it's a lot more dirt than what the original topo shows. If you look at my grading plan along the driveway, you got to remember this site was going to have 7 units on it. So they brought a lot of fill in.
Yeah.
And they were going to basically fill up the whole thing with 16-foot retaining walls, and it's going to be pretty bad. It's like a monument or fortress up there. But as you notice, if you drove up the driveway, you notice that the pavement is pretty close to the dirt, right there, okay? So I said, okay, well, I had the elevations for the driveway for the old grading plan. So I said, okay, I'm going to try to make this work with that dirt right there so that we don't have to build any retaining walls. Because when Mr. Shapiro came to me, I said, let's try to do something with less retaining walls.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let's just try to do that. Let's try not to have any retaining walls along the driveway. So I said, the dirt's there already, so I'm going to start moving this dirt out of here. You know, and I just moved the dirt out, and I started bringing the buildings down, so you drove down into your garage. So a lot of the dirt you see there now is going to be gone. It doesn't work. It's just not going to work. I did the grading plan, like I said, per the old topo.
Okay. That explains why I see something different than what's on this plan, because I'm really trying to figure it out and standing on it, and I'm going, wait, we're way up
there. Yeah.
You're showing these things blending together.
There's another plan, I think it's on the C sheet, I'm not sure, I can't remember, on the C sheet, where we showed where dirt was brought onto the site, and it's just piled there. I mean, you saw it, it's a mess.
So here's some additional questions for you, because I really went over this grading plan. It wasn't making a lot of, first of all, I like your project, don't get me wrong, but I want it to work too.
Yeah.
I want it to work for the people who are using the garages and getting in there, and I see a cross slope. I'll just give you an example. The cross slope, the driveways are about 18 foot in width, and you have like the small ones have 11% cross slope coming in, and the big ones have 13.8 cross slope, and yet you're coming down 10% and trying to get in the garage with no vertical curve. The smaller cars are going to bottom out.
Cross slope is given to me. That's the driveway.
Yeah, I'm talking about the driveway, though, and the cars. You still need a vertical curve at the top and at the bottom to come into the garage so those cars don't bottom out. Because as is with the finished grades I'm seeing some conflict with vehicles getting into the garages.
No, I don't see it that way. I saw the ones that were there before. It was totally ridiculous. They only had 10 feet. They had 10 feet from the driveway into the garage. And at that crossover of the driveway that's there now, it wasn't going to happen. You know, what I have there now is a much better. I mean, you come at the lower end of the garage, it's almost flat. I'm just barely draining out of there from the garage at one end to go to drain to the swale that's existing. And it's about a 1%, 2% drainage. So I got the water draining from the driveway, the approach into garage to the swale that's going to be there.
Right, and I don't see a problem with 1 and 2. I think 1 and 2 is going to function fine. What I'm looking at is 3 and 4, mm-hmm. where you're going from 163.5 down to 161.2, so it's a 2-foot drop. So the driveway's coming down 10%. And you're going to need, and it's also like this, and you're coming down like this. And you got to check that vertical curve and using an 8-foot standard, or cars with 6 inches or less clearance are going to be bottoming out on that concrete. And that's for lots 3 and 4. Mainly lot 3. It's just a concern. You're going to want to address that.
Vice Chair Keane, did you have any questions? I just had that one question about how long you were proposing the project to take. Thank you. Those are all the questions that I had.
Chair George?
Yes.
I'd just like to add a couple things on the driveway. Sorry, it took me a bit to find it. We do have an engineering standard for driveway approaches and vertical curve profiles. And so if it's a concern of the commission's that we address that, perhaps adding a condition that the driveway be constructed in compliance with engineering standard 2130 would cover that. It is a mixture of both 6 and 8 foot vertical curves and 12 foot depending on whether you want up it or down it. So that should take care of the issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I have a discussion on one other item?
Okay. Do we have any more questions for the applicant?
Well, it might tie into a question, because okay. I read that letter from the neighbors there and during construction. And it might be a joint question again, because those homes are there. There's 12 homes that are there, and it requires all the emergency fire access equipment to get in there 24/7. Are construction vehicles going to be allowed to go up and down this driveway and back up and down? Let's say a concrete truck comes up and goes beep, beep, beep and has to back up the driveway and he's pouring concrete off that driveway. Is that allowed, number one, or does our municipal code allow a private driveway to be blocked during construction?
So during construction, the construction vehicles will need to use the driveway that's both owned by the applicants and the existing homeowners. We'll try to implement construction protocols that minimize the disruption, but construction can be noisy, dirty, and take longer than one would anticipate, and we'll do our best to mitigate it. But yes, they would be allowed to use the driveway. Additionally, when they build the bulb out, that's going to be an inconvenience for the existing residents. We've talked to the applicant about that during the SAC meeting and talking about different things that they could do to try to mitigate that, construct on half of the bulb out at a time. But during construction, there will be some inconvenience.
Because I could see, a temporary driveway, dirt one, being placed right next to this one because the driveways to the units are 19 feet. By the way, I love that the driveways are 19 feet deep because you can park two guest stalls in front of you, every one of these garages. I love that. Thank you for doing that. But I can see most likely the contractor is going to want to pour all four foundations at one time. He's not going to want to build one, do everything, then build the next one and go down the hill. So I can totally see that driveway being blocked by these big concrete trucks. And whoever's trying to get out in the morning to go to work is going to have a tough time doing that. So I don't know what the solution is, but I think we should discuss it. And because those homeowners are going to be coming to this mic the second there's a problem.
I got a comment about that. I've been at that site twice, and those residents are parking on that other side of that street all the time, every day. There was four cars there twice, three cars the next time I was there. So they are blocking that access right now themselves. Mm-hmm. So one of the conditions we need to put in to this is when the project gets done, that needs to be red striped so there's no parking on that side because it inhibits it. But if they're willing to park it and block it themselves right now, the construction is, apparently it's not a problem to them. That's what I'm trying to say, I guess.
And I guess what I'm thinking, being proactive here is, and it's customary because I've had notices when a contractor's come by and is going to do work, it'd be nice to notice those residences, hey, by the way, concrete trucks are going to be up and down this day, or driveway's going to be partially blocked by lumber trucks, and just give them a notice on their door. They don't have to make 12 sheets of paper and put it in their mailbox or put it on their door. Let them know where different possible conflicts might be. So if they want to park out on the street in Briscoe that night, they can, and they can walk to the car and get out easily. So just something to think about.
Do we have construction limit times? Days and times?
We do. Condition of approval 13 limits construction hours between 7 and 5, Monday through Friday. We were just discussing you could restrict that even further to, let's say, 8 to 4. The other comment that I will make is because there is the existing development that does utilize that that shared driveway area, however the developer proposes to construct the units, that emergency access in particular will have to be remaining in some fashion, whether it's half the driveway or a new temporary dirt driveway or all-weather surface, something to that effect. So those are one point to notice, and then an opportunity to restrict the construction hours even further to help address those concerns.
Is it within the commission's purview to be able to modify those hours, say 8 o'clock as opposed to 7 o'clock, so these people can get out and go to work?
Absolutely.
In the morning and not be late?
Yep.
Like 8 to 4?
I've been in a private more than anybody over the past 3 years.
Can I get a microphone?
We have no problem of when we have cement trucks coming in during the middle of the day. During the middle of the day, there's not a lot of traffic on there. It's early morning, they leave, and late in the afternoon, they come home. But from after 9 o'clock in the morning till say 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there's not a lot that goes on there, at least what I've seen, and I've been there over and over again. So we have no problem trying to accommodate. The last thing I want is a bunch of homeowners in here complaining to us. I mean to y'all. So I mean, we'll do whatever we can to keep everybody happy there.
Right.
So if from 9 to 3, if that's acceptable, that's more than acceptable to us.
Thank you, Mr. Shapiro. So is 9 to 3 a reasonable time, or is that unreasonable for the
others? Well, I'd like to modify that a little bit.
Right.
I don't want to stop all construction from
saying.
9 to 3. But the construction that's going to block that drive should be, but not
they,
stopping.
Yeah, because they start early,
and everything
right,
else.
Right.
I mean, that's
so
just a little bit more restrictive than I think it needs to be.
So are cement trucks the only large trucks we're concerned about, or any trucks that, or any vehicle that might block the drive?
Well, yeah, you're going to have big lumber trucks coming from Hayward or Burke and Pace, dropping off lumber loads. I mean, there's going to be big trucks, and I would ask that those don't do deliveries or they're between 7 and 8 in the morning. I mean, after 8 o'clock would be more appropriate to let guests, you know, leave their existing quarters.
And we don't have an issue with them working until 5?
Yeah, going to 5 is fine. Typically people work 8 to 5.
Okay. Any other comments?
Just one. When we talked about all that fill for that project, has there been any compaction? If they just dumped it there, I'm afraid that you're going to have a compaction problem with that.
Well,
I know they didn't compact it and build it up. They just dumped it there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm sure the top 2 feet's no good anyway. So a lot of it's going to be taken out, like I said. So a lot of it's when you do grading, everything has to be brought out and then brought back in again, later incorrectly. So it'll all be done correctly.
And
we have an old soils report, and so we'll have to look at that again.
I have one more question, because I didn't write it down, but it slipped in my mind. Did you meet with the fire department at all to go over the fire plan at all, or did they?
We met at the SAC meeting, and there is a turnaround, existing turnaround. It's on the old plan.
Are they requiring a hydrant to be put back there by the visitor stalls at all, or is there one back there at all?
I believe there's one back there already.
Okay. That was my question, because I didn't see it on the plan.
Okay.
Thank you.
And your plan is to repave the drive after construction is complete?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Repave and restripe and put signs up. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I that was one of the things I talked to Mr. Shapiro when I was looking at the project. I'm thinking about the fire trucks. And then I come to find out that was a design already up there, and I went up there to take a look at it, and it's there, but it's not painted red. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much. And we'll take it back to the
I've got a comment if I can add.
No, we'll
throw my 2 cents into this. We were commenting on this.
Oh, on this.
The issue with construction and all that kind of stuff. To me, obviously, you know, it sounds like the applicant is going to be sensitive to the construction and the disruption and things of that nature. It would seem to me having the concrete trucks coming in on a single day and pouring all 4 of those foundations could be less disruptive than trying to do it in 4 different days. And part of it to me is just the more we constrict the hours of the day and the more restrictions that we put on it, the longer the construction period ends up being. And so there's a balance that needs to be met. I guess the only comment I would make, and if we need to, and I don't know how to put that into a condition, is just have the confirm that the project manager is over communicating with the neighbors' schedules, particularly when there's a heavy delivery day or a heavy activity day or a noisy activity day. You know, just to be sensitive to the neighbors. The neighbors are going to, at some level, accept the fact that over a 6-month period of time, they're going to hear compressors and nailers and things of that nature as the thing gets constructed. But I don't know how he put in a condition to over-communicate with the neighbors, just so, you know, they're kept abreast of those kinds of things. And so there's just a sensitivity to the disruption that they're going to be experiencing during that time.
Commissioner Fowler Payne, do you have any comments?
Well, I just finished a construction site, and my restrictions were 8 to 4. And that seemed to be adequate for the neighborhood. And it didn't seem to bother anybody. They knew it in advance. But I will tell you, they quit at 4. So, and the more restriction you put on the time, you know, like Martin said, you just drag it out longer. So you might as well get in, get it done, and get out. The driveway slope, I've done 16%, and my cars are low, and they, you know, they start to bottom out, but they make it into the garage. And so I don't have a problem with the slopes on the driveway. The basin, I don't know, isn't there some way that you can just, I don't like to see the fence on there. I know there's some places in Grover where the apartments have just those depression basins in the front landscape area and have grass in there. If there's some way that we can expand that, the size of that basin, without going the depth. And of course, once you do all your hydrology calculations, you'll know what that is. But I would rather see it not have a fence if it can be more of a soft contour to it.
Yeah, I think we still have to get more specific on the design of how much water we're going to do there. We've already, you know, we're already stating that we're going to have bioswales and filtering systems and stuff of that nature. But there's room to play with it still until we recalc all the water out.
Well, that's sandy soil over there anyway, yes. So it's going to perk pretty fast.
Yeah, perk very fast. I mean, that's another thing to take into consideration.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's all my comments.
Commissioner Martin, do you have any more comments?
No.
Vice Chair Keene, do you have a comment? Commissioner Mack?
Well, one comment came to mind, and that's following Commissioner Terry Fowler Payne. The reason why the 12 units work next door and you don't see a basin above ground is because they did the French drain system and put it underground. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's totally up to the applicant to choose what drainage system he liked to do. But if he could probably do a combination of a basin that was no more than 2 feet deep and the French drain system, you wouldn't need to put a fence around it. I mean, we could go that far and tell the applicant we'd like to see that, but we don't, you know, it's up to five of us to decide. But I'm for the project. I like the density. I like, you know, the guest parking. There's a lot of things I really like about the project. There's just some things that need to get ironed out. One is retaining walls, and I'm ready to make a motion. You know, given, you know, adding a few more conditions to the project. One, that our vertical curve standard gets adhered to for the driveways. And then the other one being that we do have the fence, if there is a fence around the basin, approved by the ARC, and not allow chain link fence to be used. That's a nice decorative fence that appeals with the architecture that's being proposed. And there was a third condition we talked about. Refresh my memory.
Okay. So I'm also in favor of the project moving forward with the following conditions. However, we want to frame the motion, but from everything I heard tonight, that we need to amend resolution number 13 to change the time to 8 to 5 Monday through Friday for deliveries that will remain and block the driveway for any extended period of time. But normal construction can be the regular 7 to 5. And then modify resolution number 120 to pick another tree that would require less maintenance and not require an annual review of a certified arborist. Add condition 124. Commissioner Martin had expressed concern about the bulb out. So if staff can recommend a proper size bulb out, that would be great. Resolution number 125 would be to modify the drainage basin to be less than 2 feet, that would be preferable so that it wouldn't require a fence, but anything higher than 2 feet would require a fence and therefore require an additional design review by the ARC. 126 would be that all driveways comply with the engineering standard 2130. And 127 is to red stripe the shared drive. I believe that was all of our concerns.
Yeah? I'd probably go further on that, not just red stripe, but per the requirements of the fire department, because it requires signage too, not just the red curve.
So we'll modify 127 to red stripe the shared drive as well as confer with the fire department for all regulations. I am happy to see that it got reduced from 7 units to 4. I think that the neighbors should be happy with that. It's less congestion, less traffic, less wear and tear on the drive, and I think it'll make for a nicer living environment for the residents that do end up moving into the development. I think the development is very well planned out, and the design is very nice. So I appreciate the time and effort that the applicant and the architect took to make those design modifications. So we're open for a motion then.
Chair George, we do have some wording for your, if you would like to address the issue of the neighborhood coordination concerning the construction activity.
So if you want to add that condition, we had kind of penciled out, the developer shall invite neighbors to the project's pre-construction meeting and provide regular notice to neighboring residences during heavy disruption events, including but not limited to material deliveries, concrete deliveries, and impacts to the driveway.
Are the commissioners good with that?
I like that. Thank you.
Is that in addition to the 8 to 4 or 8 to 5, excuse me? Are we, yes, in addition to the 8 to 5.
Right.
Okay. And clarification, that 8 to 5 is during those same heavy disturbance events. Okay.
Right. Otherwise, it'll remain 7 to 5. Right.
And I'm going to go way out and just common sense certainly dictates that the developer's not going to sit there and block the driveway at 7:45 to anger the neighboring residents. That's, you know, I'm taking that faith leap that this is part and parcel of what's going on. But communication is key on a project like this when you got to share a driveway.
Have to repeat it all, huh? I move the Planning Commission of the City of Aurora Grande approve tentative parcel map 15-002 and plan unit development 15-002 located at 189 Briscoe Road, applied for by Edward Shapiro, with the following amendments. Amending resolution number 13 per staff's wording. Amending resolution number 120 to modify and pick another tree that would require less maintenance and remove the necessary requirement to have a certified arborist. Then we'll add resolution number 124 to specify the size of the bulb out. We'll add resolution 125 to recommend the depth of the drainage basin be no more than 2 feet. However, if it is more than 2 feet, it will require a fence, and that fence will need to go back to the ARC for design review. We'll add condition 126, that all driveways comply to engineering standard 2130. We'll add condition 127 to comply with all fire department regulations, including red striping the shared drive, any signs that might need to be erected as well.
second.
We have a motion and a second. Could we please get a roll call vote, please?
Chair George?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Keane?
Yes.
And the motion carries. Thank you for your time this evening. And we have no public hearing items tonight, so we'll move to agenda item 10, the notice of administrative decisions since April 19th. And I don't believe we have any. So we'll move to commission communications. Do the commissioners have anything they wish to communicate? No? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to staff communications.
Just one this evening. I am pleased to announce the promotion of Matt Downing to planning manager.
Congratulations, Manager Downing.
Congratulations.
Terrific.
That's amazing. Well deserved, for sure. And with that, I motion that we adjourn tonight's meeting.
So moved.